We had a couple good days of practice, and hopefully we can, you know, show on Sundays.
All right, that's the man in the middle, Vince Wilfork, the nose tackle, Drew, Tanya, and Chris back here on Texans Extra Points. Romeo Crennel, the defensive coordinator for the Texans, got himself what looks to be a pretty nice unit. Had some struggles in the first half, but they were put in some weird situations, and then they pitch a shutout in the second half against the Chiefs. What do you think overall, big picture, biggest challenge right now for Romeo and that D is?
I think the biggest challenge is building on what they did last year and kind of developing that chemistry, because there are some new guys on the defense. Romeo talked about how he thought it would be nice if they could just pick up right where they left off last year, but you had Clowney, who hasn't played in nearly a year last week. You had Wilfork, who had never played with this defense in a game. I mean, Chris, you can probably address this a little bit, but I know that they said practice simulates it enough that it was unnecessary, but I kind of wondered watching them if it would have helped get off to a fast start.
No, yeah, I was going to touch on kind of where you were at in terms of their chemistry, communication, camaraderie amongst them in game-like situations, because practice can take you a long ways, and there was a lot of scrimmages with other teams in training camp. But J.J., Vince, J.J.O., a bunch of guys didn't play at all in preseason games. So last week was our first action, actually having to communicate in a game-like situation with each other. So I think that's going to come over time, and more the season goes along. Not that they played bad. I think they got put, like you said, Drew, in a couple of tough situations. They really only let up a drive and a half during the game, and they shut them out in the second half. So I was really impressed with how they're operating. I think with Romeo, and that deals with the trainers and Coach O'Brien, but with Clowney being able to kind of progressively bring him back. And he had 30 plays, which I was surprised he even got 30 plays. That was a bunch for coming back from microfracture. But I think being able to implement him and get that communication with him and everybody else in the defense is the biggest thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was an encouraging effort, I think, if you look at it, you know, big picture, because of what you guys just talked about, the time as far as meshing and melding together. J.J. Watt didn't look like he'd missed a beat, though. He had two sacks, six tackles for loss. I mean, he was back up to his old tricks. Is J.J. Watt as good or better than last year? And I know it's a small sample size, it's only one game, but, man, he looked good.
He did. I think the most impressive thing about him is that I feel like a few years ago he used to set these number goals, and he would say, you know, when he wanted the 20 sacks, 20 batted passes, 20 tackles for loss, all that kind of stuff. And now his goal is just to be better than he was. And that in itself is such an incredible goal because of everything he's done already.
I really think that being a guy that played against him every day in practice for 4 years, it's legitimately what he says. He is hands down one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. What he does on Sundays is only because what he does Monday through Saturday out in the practice fields, being able to kind of stay after practice, do some extra conditioning, and the amount of work that he does in the middle of practice plays. I mean, there's no one better to tell you. Ben Jones has been going up against him for the past three, four years at guard, and it's only made Ben better because he's going up against JJ for every single play. But I think that being able to kind of play with a guy like this, I feel very lucky, and to see him kind of go through this transition from his rookie year to where he's at now, it's phenomenal.
What sort of stress does he put on an offensive line as a whole? Because it's not like you can just say, well, the left guard, he's going to have a long day, because they move JJ around so much.
Yeah, I've talked to many a line throughout the last few years when having to prepare for JJ, and they try and get some pointers on what his techniques are and stuff, but their game plan against them. You have to have, I mean, even evidence from last week, they had three guys at any given time on him, and he's still trying to get through guys and make some plays. But to have a guy like him on the defense to prepare for, on top of also having Vince, also having Clowney, also having Cushing, it's a terror for an offensive line to have to deal with. So I'm anxious to see how, going back to what we talked about before, the communication and how they mesh well together, what they're going to do this season.
Now, this guy played at the University of Miami with Vince Wilfork, and he made the point one time that he got there before Wilfork did, and Wilfork left before he did. He was that good going to the NFL. What have you seen so far from the big guy in the middle?
Well, I think that's one of the things that you're going to see improve and get better as he's working, you know, gets used to working with these guys. I mean, he is an attention-grabbing figure. You know, he's massive, and he's agile, and he can do a lot of things that are going to draw attention away from other guys. Of course, you can't draw too much attention away from JJ. So that, you know, I think it just gives the Texans defense so many weapons that caused so many problems for offensive lines to deal with.
All right, good stuff from you two. And I want to keep going on this, but first we got to get to John Harris, who's got our FanDuel update of the week.
We are in full swing, everybody. The NFL season is here, and that means you should be playing fantasy football and play America's favorite game at FanDuel.com. Let's get into some of our plays of the week, and we're going to start with Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. They're facing San Francisco. San Francisco held Minnesota to 3 points. Well, they played a Monday night late game and have got to play a Sunday early game. So expect Ben Roethlisberger to make a huge splash against the Niners. And his FanDuel formula at $8,400 is one of the better values at quarterback. At wide receiver, well, how about his guy, Antonio Brown? This guy has caught 9 passes last week, and he's going to continue to catch more against the San Francisco defense. He is the most expensive on FanDuel, but I guarantee you he's going to get a ton of points for you. Let's go to Justin Forsett, the running back for the Baltimore Ravens. He didn't have a great week last week, but he's facing the Oakland run defense that got shredded last week. Keep an eye on Justin Forsett at $7,400. Another great FanDuel formula right for you. Go to HoustonTexans.com/fantasypass and get in on all the fun. We'll be right back after this.